Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with Todd Horn, the Executive Editor for Tiger Rag, and the Editor, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne, our producer, who also works for Tiger Rag and the Louisiana Radio Network. Boy, we have a lot to get through here over the next couple hours. I hope we're able to get to all of it. Obviously, a lot of baseball talk, some huge injury news that has broken over the last 24 hours. Men's basketball finally has a transfer portal commitment. Football also picked up a commitment this week. We also heard from Lane Kiffin today. Hey, softball's doing better. Baseball, though, looks like it's going nowhere at the moment. So I think that's probably where we need to obviously start the show. Last night on his coach's show, Jay Johnson announced that Cooper Moore will miss the rest of the season due to a stress fracture in his throwing elbow. And then the news came out Tuesday morning that Jake Brown broke his hamate bone in the series finale against Texas A&M on a swing, and he is most likely out for the year, will have surgery, and is most likely done as an LSU Tiger. Jay Johnson said that Cooper Moore will come back next season, or at least that's the plan. We'll see how that changes. But for LSU, who has lost six straight SEC games, they are 6-12 in the SEC. They're not even on the bubble anymore when it comes to getting into the NCAA tournament. They got to fight their way to get on the bubble. Not having one of your better hitters, even though he wasn't necessarily hitting a lot in SEC play, but still not having a guy like Jake Brown in the lineup is the last thing that Coach Jay Johnson and this team needed right now. So, guys, your thoughts on the state of the LSU baseball program as it stands now?
Well, I've got to apologize. I feel bad for constructing this team the way I did. And, you know, it's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the broadcast
team.
You're
never going to go to the portal again? You signed your last portal player, Jay.
No more Tommy White? You're not going to go get Paul Skeens if he calls you up in the transfer portal?
I'm going to make sure that they know how to work out and that they can swing. They have bat speed that's good enough to be able to push the ball to the opposite side of the field.
And
they're good people, yeah. he's very disappointed.
Yeah.
And it's understandable. I'm not saying it's understandable that he's disappointed in some of the players. I'm saying it's understandable that he's disappointed with the total effort because this is not up to the standard of this program, period.
They're not talented. The portal players he was talking about, they're not that talented. They're kind of one dimensional. And then some players that he was really counting on haven't come through, like Cason Evans and William Schmidt. I mean, I know those two guys haven't gotten a lot of help on defense, but they also just have not really looked like two starting pitchers in the SEC for the most part. You know, they're not lasting in games. And, you know, when Stephen Milam has started hitting lately, but he's not hitting as well overall as he did last year. They've had an off year.
They certainly have, and it is a little bit – when they had 2024 was kind of expected after 2023 when you had two of the best players in college baseball on your team. And you
but 3-12 wasn't expected.
No, it wasn't, but they still rallied enough, and they got to a regional championship game.
And they did.
And they did. So there was a – this season, though, I just never would have thought would have occurred.
He had two great pitchers on that team. Not maybe not as great as last year's pitchers, but they were still good starting.
24?
One and two were two.
Who were those?
Gage Jump and Luke Holman.
Luke Holman, yeah. They were both very good pitchers.
Well, they're better than these two this year now.
Yeah. And that, to me, you know, there's been so much talk, guys, about the transfer portal additions. It seems like there's a lot of piling on those two guys. And
four guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I say two guys? Four guys. But while, yes, if Trent Carraway and Zach York were going to be solid players at first and third, this team would look a lot different. I get that. But the fact that Cason Evans and William Schmidt did not take the step that you expected them to take, and it's not even close to where it was, where it's supposed to be.
I think it's a combination of them not taking the steps that they thought they were probably going to take and be at the level that they thought they were going to be at, and the fact that when that happens, they're putting the ball into play more, and that defense is the worst defense they've ever had, probably, statistically.
And that's true, and the pass balls and wild pitches, but mm-hmm. still – even with that, they haven't taken that step, just two pitches.
No, when you were watching William Schmidt on Saturday, I mean, he is literally just throwing fastballs down the pipe, and Texas A&M is whacking him. I mean, I don't know what the game – I understand that it's not sometimes easy to locate the ball, but, I mean, it's literally he's putting it on the plate for those guys. So, and for someone that – going in or in the 2024 draft, do I have that year right? I guess 2023 draft.
23 draft. No, you're right. 24 draft. 24 draft.
Yeah, 24 draft was expected to be a first round pick. I mean, and what you're watching right now, it's just he's not even an average SEC starting pitcher.
But I wonder how much of that throwing the ball over the middle of the plate this past week was a result of LSU focusing on throwing more strikes overall because they weren't hitting the spots that they needed to pitch the way they wanted to pitch, the way they usually pitch.
And I get it, too, the defensive issues, too. Like, you can't throw the ball in the dirt because the catchers can't stop it. You know, maybe every now and then they are, but the amount of wild pitches.
They're great catchers, and if they could catch, they would be in the major leagues.
But that's the other thing. Again, going back to my point of so much has been on, hey, the transfer portal additions didn't work out. Jay Johnson didn't have the money to go out and get real players.
Oh, that's not true.
That's not
true.
Well,
that comes into effect next year.
But I think that nobody was talking it. We just heard it last week and have all the respect in the world for Ryan Terrio.
Yeah, he got that wrong. He was off.
But he's not the only one that's been saying it. Everybody has been using that as an excuse for why this team was bad.
That's not true.
But nobody was saying that when this team was ranked number one or two in the preseason. No one was saying that when they were 8-0 to begin this season. All of a sudden, people started looking for an excuse and why this team was bad, and they started pointing to, well, Jay didn't have enough money to go out and get real players. No,
his payroll this past year was competitive and as good as anyone.
Now
he's worried that it won't be next year.
He did lose out on a couple of players he wanted, but it wasn't because he didn't have the money.
Yeah, and he did the year before too. That happens.
But it's the new guys or the transfer portal additions are just one part of it. It's the lack of development from Evans and from William Schmidt.
Cooper Moore's injury.
Cooper Williams' lack of development, Maverick Rizzi's lack of development, lack of development for Cade Arambidi as a defensive catcher. I mean, it's all around.
Well, the biggest thing
Tanner Reeves was supposed to be a guy that was expected to be taking a step up this year.
We were just talking about this 15 minutes before the show started, and my biggest takeaway from everything Jay has said, my biggest takeaway is that team is not strong enough and fast enough. They don't have enough bat speed, and they can't compensate for their lack of defense because they can't hit the ball the right way.
It was startling. I remember towards the end of the Paul Maneri era that other teams were like so much bigger and stronger than LSU. Like, you know, we're talking about here, I got Paul Maneri's last few years here. You know, the 22-20, you know, after the COVID, or even going into
the 21 season.
He recruited differently.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, you know, everybody was getting these big shortstops, big middle infielders, and that changed You know, Jay Johnson kind of changed that.
Yeah, he went for more offense. Maneri always went for defensive guys sometimes.
But this past series against A&M was the first time, probably since that 23 season with Paul Maneri, or excuse me, not the 23, yeah, 23
season. No, 21 season.
21 season, excuse me, 21 season with Maneri, where you really thought they don't have a chance. Like the other team is bigger, stronger, more physical, better players.
He still got to a super that year, though.
I know.
And you know, by the way, Paul Maneri had a hole-in-one yesterday. He was in the newspaper today. Did you see that? He was at the top agate. You know, people might not know what agate is, but the fine print where the box scores are in the major league standings.
Where did he hit it?
Local golf course with Webb his two
Park.
Sons. It was a hole-in-one. It was like the first headline, Paul Maneri. So congratulations, Paul.
So what's going to happen now is, you know, LSU's lost Brown. They lost Moore, and so – now they're going to sweep Mississippi State.
That would be just like SEC baseball. It really would be.
Sweep South Carolina. And then from today, we're going to be here at 12-12 talking about how LSU's going to still vying for a regional host.
I keep waiting for Evans and Schmidt to just wake up. And you know, they unlike the 3-12 season in 24 where they started 3-12, they were just 6-6. 2 weeks ago, and they were right there. So this kind of happened quicker.
Yeah, sweep State and sweep South Carolina. Yeah. You're 12-12 and vying for a region.
It's
yeah.
not going to happen.
Okay. That's okay. not going to happen.
Okay. Now, could they potentially win four games over these next 2 weekends? Yes, I think so.
They're not going to beat Georgia.
No, they got South Carolina.
No, I'm saying they're not going to beat after that. They're not going to beat Georgia at Georgia more than once if they can take them once, and they're not going to beat Florida
more than
three
once.
Straight.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit from we've been kind of alluding to it. I know a lot of people have heard the comments already, but let's hear a little bit from Jay Johnson's viral press conference that occurred on Friday night. Go ahead and play cut one, Andre.
I made some mistakes in constructing the team and trying to replace two guys that were irreplaceable, where we should have looked for replacing them through guys that were already in the program and then replaced the guys that were athletic and could play defense and be more complete players. Okay, we won't make that mistake again. You know, the power moving forward will come from players that start their career here and develop into it, like Jake has, per se, this year.
And hope they don't break their hand.
Yeah, don't break their hand. All right, here's another one.
Wrist.
Here's another one from Jay on changing his philosophy going forward.
I think it's always under construction. You know, the base of it has stayed the same for a long time, and it hasn't mattered whether it said Nevada, Arizona, or LSU on my jersey. There's things that have been brought to light now with so many changes with how things are off the field, on the field, you know, and even at this place, and at this place with the success that we've had, that I have to relook at. And am relooking at, you know, in terms of what we do with players in the summertime, you know, what we do in the month of September, what does fall baseball look like? There's some things, and, you know, watching that team, it's a really good team, you know, like, and maybe some things how I've seen a couple of their players grow. I mean, they're a much stronger physical team, you know, that, you know, we have to get that element back, and we've certainly had that. You know, so does that adjust what we do from a strength and conditioning standpoint? Does it adjust with what we do with some players from the summertime? The fall baseball, I mean, it's the West Coast in me. Like, I like to play a lot. And that didn't land, you know, as well this year. And maybe it's because of you're playing to the very last day of the season and coming off a championship. I think it's always under construction. And it will be in a big way.
Already evaluating what needs to be done next season to get this thing back on track. But really tough season, that's for sure. We'll continue the baseball talk, get into some other things as well. We'll have more of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo, as LSU on the verge of potentially not making the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2011. The Tigers went 36-20 that season. They went 13-17 in the SEC and missed out.
Usually that gets you in.
Yeah.
13-17.
Well, that might get them in as well this year, even though their RPI is very low. You know, a lot of people, it seemed like from the fan base, a lot of people believe Jay Johnson could turn this thing around, and I think he could turn this thing around for sure. I think he is evaluating a lot of the things that he has made mistakes on and went away from going out and getting more complete players. And he talked about trying to fill the hole of finding guys to hit home runs to make up for the loss of Jared Jones and Ethan Frye. And I think one of the things that's really good about Jay Johnson, like a lot of good coaches, is that he's not going to make the same mistake twice. I think that was always one of the great things in the time covering Nick Saban. Never would make the same mistake twice, whether it was how they prepared for a game. If it didn't work out, they wouldn't try that again. A game plan, wouldn't try that again. If he took a chance on a player on a certain character issue, he wouldn't do that again. And I think Jay is the same way. But when you look at Jay's history as a head coach, it's just I don't know what it is. He had obviously two outstanding seasons at Arizona where he took him to the College World Series, came a game away from winning a national championship one year. And then the other years were just, 16-14 in the Pac-12 or whatever the heck they call it, 14-16, 15-14. And here, obviously, at LSU, we saw two national championship teams. I'd throw out the 2022 season just because that was such a transition year. But 2024, as Glenn alluded to, 3-12 in the SEC at one point. Now this year they might not make the NCAA tournament. And I'm just wondering, is he – I don't know what it is.
A lot of that, Jeff, I can tell you. I've done some stories on this in the past. And our guest at 7:30, Hunt, has talked about this too. Since the portal, and actually right before the portal, the teams – after they win the national championship, they go down. I mean, actually, the 24 team by LSU was one of the better ones.
Ole
Miss and Mississippi State were terrible. Tennessee was okay after they won it, but there's some other ones in there. It's just, I think these rosters are, there's such turnover. I think that's part of it.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, Jay was talking about last night on his radio show on how while they're in the College World Series, some of the guys that are the freshmen that didn't play, they're not really into it, right? Because they know they're not going to play, and they're looking at their options. And so that's why guys like Mikey Ryan move on to North Carolina State, and he's hitting 328 there, and Ryan Costello moves to Maryland, and he's got 13 home runs this season. These were freshmen that – and way Jay explained it last night was he never really had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because those guys were doing their own research and homework because they didn't want to come back to LSU and not play again. You only got so many years, so you got to use.
But they might have played had he not signed those guys from the portal.
Well, no, this was even before
they left, before these guys came in.
But getting back to, I agree with your point, Glenn, but I'm just looking at Jay Johnson's coaching career, and I don't know what happened at Arizona. I'm not following Arizona Wildcats baseball, and I understand it's not a premier program, and the fact that he took him there twice to the College World Series is great. But I'm just wondering, why is there these years where it's just not – it's not that 5-6 year run of just, boom, you're in the regionals every year. Well, you're a super regional team. Like we saw with – and I understand it's a different era.
That's Paul, the whole point. That's the whole point. It is a different era. And right now, you can't compare what's happening right now with what happened prior to the transfer portal, because there was no transfer portal. Mm-hmm. And so they had to develop teams. They had to recruit high school players, bring those players in, go to junior colleges, bring those players in, and develop a team. Whereas right now, you've got four holes to fill. You want to fill them with a 310-pound first baseman, a third baseman from, you know, Oregon who went on a tear in the World Series. So he made some miscalculations.
The thing that is a little scary when you take a look at it next season, look at who he's got to replace next year.
Yeah.
He's got to find now a new right fielder. Curiel's gone. Stanfield's gone. Milam's likely gone.
Brown.
Yeah, that's what new right fielder. You are literally looking at, and now your catchers will return, but you're looking at potentially seven new position players next year.
Well, you're going to have three pitchers back next year. All three of your starters from this year will be back next year.
He'll have more time to recruit this year because he's going to be done earlier.
He will.
That could be key.
That will be beneficial. He'll have more revenue sharing dollars, as far as we know. That might help as well.
We'll never know. For sure.
But we'll see. We'll see. It's right now. This is just, to me, just startling as far as what has happened here. To go from number one, number two preseason, talk about the most talented team, and then watching this past weekend and seeing they didn't even belong. It didn't even look like they belonged to be on the same field as A&M. And I know that's maybe a little bit too harsh, but A&M completely dominated them this past weekend.
When you think about what A&M did to Brian Kelly's football team, you think about what A&M did to Matt McMahon's basketball team this year, and when you think about what happened this past weekend, I think A&M needs to be reckoned with.
Their beach volleyball team is really good, too. I don't know if you've noticed that.
All right, let's go take a break. We'll have our first guest when we come back. Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball will join us when we come back on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Are you ready to answer the call to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member? May 11th is Membership Monday, a day when the Louisiana Farm Bureau family unites to ask you to join the organization that's been around 104 years as the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Membership has its benefits, and the ones with the Louisiana Farm Bureau can save you money. So on May 11th, Membership Monday, will you answer the call? Visit lafarmbureau.org to learn more.
Let's go.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, talking a lot of LSU baseball as we do the show every Tuesday night. And we are so glad our affiliates around the state are able to hear us from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. The youth movement is on for LSU baseball. 3 freshmen starting tonight, as William Patrick getting to start in right for the injured Jake Brown. Jack Ruckert getting another opportunity at second base. It's been a while for him. He is starting at second, a lot of that because of injuries and ineffectiveness from the other second baseman on the team. And then Omar Serna is DHing. Let's bring in our next guest, and that is Mark Etheridge, who was at the box this weekend to see what was a lopsided affair. Texas A&M sweeping LSU. The Tigers have lost six in a row. Of course, Mark does outstanding work for D1Baseball.com. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, it's my time of year. With the stretch run of the conference season heading into regional play, there's so many storylines, and certainly no shortage of storylines in Baton Rouge right now.
And one of the storylines, Mark, we've talked a little bit about it here since the start of our show a half hour ago, is defending national champs here over the last few years have really struggled the following season. I mean, how much of that is just the transactional status of rosters now, and there's so much more fluidity with the rosters from one year to the next. It's just hard to, after you win it, to regroup and make another good run at it the following season.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I really do. Each coach that I talk to, especially now in the portal era, the longer you play, the harder it is in the portal, because you're having to split your attention and recruit while you play for a title. Meanwhile, all the teams whose seasons have ended can devote their full attention to the portal and have been able to have success that way. I'm not sure that's the whole story. Certainly, it's a complicated factor, but the results and the evidence certainly leans toward teams struggling the year after they win the title. Some of that I feel like is it's just so hard when you wear that target to continue to do the little things to prepare yourself. You get everybody's best shot. They make their season if they're able to have success against you. Meanwhile, you've got to focus on today when all anyone's talking about is, can you repeat? Right, and you can't win a title in February, but you can certainly lose it, and I feel like that's where a lot of this is going.
Hey, Mark, LSU is at 23-18 right now, and 6-12 in the SEC. And since you were in town here at Alex Box, sitting in the press box watching that debacle this weekend, LSU just doesn't look just beaten right now. At times, they look like resigned to the fact that they're just not that good. Is that too harsh, or did you see that too this weekend?
Well, part of that is A&M is really good, and that lineup is going to give everybody they play problems. The pitching for A&M is the question, and I felt like LSU would have some success against them, and it really never came. I think that one of the things I noticed is that I felt like in order for LSU to have success last weekend, A&M would need to help them and kick the ball around and walk people, but instead it was LSU doing those things. Mm-hmm. And that was, when you're at a deficit, and not so much a talent deficit, but just a performance deficit, because A&M's playing at a high level and LSU is not, you need those things to even the gap, and if anything, it went the opposite way, and that explains, what we saw. There were three games, and in various levels of competitiveness, but I didn't feel like LSU was ever in position to win those three. And I do think that there's, and that was with Jake Brown, right? And I do think, with that news coming, I guess it was today, that makes it that climb that much steeper. I did get the feel from Jay that he's ready to not so much throw in the towel, but certainly take some drastic measures from a lineup perspective, from a playing time, pitching roles, that sort of thing, to just kind of, let's shake it up at this point. I mean, at this point, why not? And I wonder if, that can go two ways. Sometimes you catch lightning in a bottle and you find the right mixture and things get better. And sometimes it goes the opposite way. And with the schedule LSU's got to face, it's not going to be, it's not easy to try to climb back in this thing and make the last month interesting. If anyone has earned the benefit of the doubt, I mean, Jay's won two of the last three titles, the guy can coach. So it's just a question of can this roster, as it's built in its current state, is it good enough to compete in the best conference in the country? And, you know, indications were this weekend that it's not.
So what do you think their top two biggest weaknesses are that are holding them back right now, that are preventing them from being able to compete at the level they're used to competing at?
Yeah, I think one is they're so one-dimensional offensively. You've got a lot of guys that are really power-focused or big swing-focused, and they are not versatile enough to beat you in different ways. They can't beat you with defense. They can't beat you with a small game, or, you know, hitting behind the runners and all those things that last year's club was able to do in addition to hit home runs, mm-hmm. right? It was a great defensive club. They did the little things. They didn't beat themselves, and they were able to manufacture runs when the opportunity forced them to. And I think the other part is just a lack of out-collecting, for lack of a better term, after the first three or four pitchers. I mean, it's been a struggle after Evans, after Schmidt, and sometimes they haven't, you know, everybody has up and down. But after that, it's just been inconsistency. And that's a tough way to go through a conference season when you don't know who you can depend on the mound. And there's loads of talent. There's guys with great stuff and high velo and all of these different things, arrays of pitches. They're just not getting enough outs. And that, for me, is, I don't know if it's approach. I don't know if it's just the right guy, the wrong guys in the right roles, but it just hasn't been good enough on the mound to overcome the lack of versatility in the lineup.
Talking with Mark Etheridge from D1Baseball.com. And, you know, Jay said a lot of different things, especially this past weekend. It does get the sense that he's come to a conclusion finally about this team, that they just don't have what it takes to win consistently enough for them to really make a serious run through the postseason. Out of the stuff that he had to say that made sense to you as far as changes that he can make that would work, what stood out to you?
Well, I think one thing is that just because something has worked in the past doesn't mean it will work today. This sport, and really college athletics in general, but baseball certainly fits into this, has undergone so much change in the last few years, with the portal, with the NIL, with and from a baseball perspective, the emphasis on metrics and analytics as opposed to production and performance. And I do think that's part of this, where you have to adjust. And this is not specific to LSU. This is for everyone. But if you've had so much success, you think that, okay, well, I've got a formula that works. I can roll this out here at least the year after I win the title and feel pretty good about it. But instead, it didn't. And I do think that causes introspection. I think it causes you to reevaluate things. And I asked Jay about that, and I guess it was on Sunday, and that was kind of where the answer that he led is, just because it worked, you know, for two titles in 3 years doesn't mean it's going to work in every area, right? You're going to have to tweak some things. He called it under construction, mm-hmm. and I do think that's a big part of it. The other part of it is who you target in the portal. He certainly mentioned that trying to lean more on his homegrown prep class, or at least guys within the program for multiple years, and develop them physically. He noted how physical the A&M lineup is, and he is right. I mean, he was closer than I was, but those are some really impressive guys that they got swinging the bat. And they weren't just home run guys. They were able to do multiple things and take the ball the other way, take some walks. And I do think that's something that LSU will put a big focus on, is not being so one-dimensional at the plate.
Well, we'll see how this all works out, Mark. Thanks a lot. Hope you enjoyed your stay in Baton Rouge. It was a pretty interesting weekend, regardless of the play on the field from LSU wasn't very exciting, but a lot – the probably the first LSU baseball series where the post-game press conferences were more entertaining than the games themselves, or more informative, I guess, would be the best way to say
And just to comment on that, I mean, I give Jay a lot of credit for being so candid. A lot of coaches aren't that way, and he certainly just kind of bared his soul there in post game and gave us all a view on what he's thinking.
Yeah, it was the first. He is always so supportive of his players. He really is. He's always complimentary of them. He always, you know, even on his radio show last night, he talked about how well he thought Cason Evans and William Schmidt threw this past weekend, even though the numbers and the eye test doesn't really tell you that, he's still behind them. But I thought for the first time in his career, he basically admitted, you know what? Some of these guys that I have on this team, they're just not good enough, and they're not doing it the way they need to do it in order to win, and I got to change things. And that was the first that we've heard from him say something like that. So that's why it obviously – raised a lot of antennas and caught a lot of people's attention. So we'll see how it changes. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. We appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime.
All right, Mark Etheridge from D1Baseball.com. We'll take a break. More coming up from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn, Owen Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag, Andre Champagne, our producer as well. So good stuff there from Mark Etheridge. As I mentioned in the last segment, William Patrick starting in right field for the injured Jake Brown, who will undergo surgery Wednesday for that broken hamate bone in his wrist. Jay Johnson has been talking about wanting to play William Patrick, looking for ways to get him out there. This is going to be the opportunity for him. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Daniel Harden. Do we see Mason Braun play a little bit more in the outfield? Does Chris Stanfield move to left to right in certain situations? That's a possibility. As far as the injury to Cooper Moore, I know a lot of people have been talking, and I like what Devin Sheeran is bringing. I like the attitude he has, the presence that he has on the mound. But Jay has been talking quite a bit about Marcos Paz and what he's been able to do. And again, I think a lot of this here, these final 15 regular season games, these final 12 conference games, the group of freshmen that he has on this team, I think he wants to find out about them. And starting a guy like Marcos Paz, a freshman on the road at Mississippi State, I think would be a good test. So I'm thinking he's going to be the Sunday starter.
Well, it helps that he has a 98 mile per hour fastball and and a pretty decent curve, huh?
Yeah.
What did you think about what Mark said?
That this is not a very good LSU baseball team.
What I gathered from what he said was that LSU can't hit, can't pitch, they can't catch, and they can't run.
Getting back to a lot of that is it. Getting back,
and Bob covers it.
I don't know if this would change this at all. But you know, Jay talked about it in that clip that we played about how he always wants to play. He's a West Coast guy. One of the things that I thought this team, when they were kind of, they were mentally struggling and they were having a hard, after they start 8-0 and then they had that stretch against Northeastern and Sacramento State, they weren't playing. I just thought there was probably a time there where he just needed to say, you know what? Hey guys, game's at 6:30 tonight. Show up at 5:30 and let's go. Instead of practicing 3 hours before the game, it seemed like this team needed a mental break. Mm-hmm. And Jay's theory, and I don't know, this might not change anything. This might have been only a little thing. But Jay's philosophy is, nope, the only way you get better is if you practice, you take 1,000 swings in the batting cage.
That's true.
And do all these things where sometimes, you know what? And I don't know their practice schedule. Maybe they did have a day, but it never seemed like him. He never came to the mic and said, you know what, I'm giving these guys a day.
Well, he did just the opposite. On Sunday, after he got swept for the second time, he said, well, I'm giving them the day off because I have to. that's the NCAA rule on Monday. That's why he practices on Tuesday before the game, you know. Yeah, I've thought about that too. They but you know, they do get the Monday day off, and I don't know what they might get something on Wednesday.
When this team was struggling, because and we know baseball is such a mental game that this team needed just a mental breather, and it happens in the major leagues. It happens. There's times the coaches say no batting practice tomorrow.
Right.
You're not getting here till 5:30, and then you're just going to go out there and you're going to play.
Well, he's given some players a lot of time off. He gave Zach York a lot of time off. He gave Caraway a lot of time off. Other players are getting time off because they're hurt.
Yeah, but I'm saying as a team, get away, go out, do something. Go play golf. Do something other than play baseball. He talked about it after, I think it was during that series of Northeastern, where he saw Zach York and Milam in the batting cage till 10 o'clock that night after they played a day game. Tell those guys to go home.
Yeah.
I think, though, you know, everybody's kind of reaching. I mean,
I know.
The bottom line is,
you
know,
they're not good.
They're just not good. Yeah. Exactly. And they might, he might be able to have the exact same approach next year and they'll be good.
Well, it does, because the 2023 and 25 teams, those guys, you could have practiced them 22 hours a day and they still would have performed very well in the field. It was just a different group. And I don't know if he understood that about this group early on in the season. That's my point. All right, let's take a break. We'll finish up hour number one here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios. This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, and the executive editor, Todd Horn. We're going to turn it over here to football. Preston Guy from Tiger Bait's going to join us. We'll get into some draft stuff with Mike Dettillier. Hunt Palmer also set to join us an hour or two. We haven't gotten to it yet. Your thoughts on Garrett Nussmeier and the cyst that changed the world of LSU athletics?
My first thought, and I don't want to sound negative, but I'm going to sound negative.
I've been the negative guy all night.
So why didn't the LSU medical staff and OLOL figure that out?
You mean the Dr. Vinnie Boomba? They missed Nussmeier. They missed Cooper Moore. They had to get a second opinion for Cooper Moore, right. and God knows they
Greg
missed
Brooks.
They missed on Greg Brooks. I mean, that's a legitimate question.
And I understand that the cyst on the spine was away from where the pain was in the ab, you know, in the what's it called?
Core.
Yeah, but still, you would think that they would have been able to figure that out at some point.
I'm gonna give them a pass because the human body's tricky. And
but
you
they're
just,
doctors.
I understand that. And I'm not a doctor either. So
but
I'm not going to second guess them. Maybe as much as I'm going to second guess Jay Johnson, because I watch baseball games, but I don't watch operations or any of that kind of stuff.
What about Greg Brooks?
The Greg Brooks is very troubling. It's just troubling.
Is it not symptomatic of the same?
Well, I don't know,
It's similar.
I'm not going to talk about brain cancer and a cyst.
The thing with Nussmeier was they misdiagnosed it. According to Nussmeier at the Senior Bowl, they missed it during the season, and then he had doctors get it right. That's one. And then secondly was they missed the cyst. So that's two. And with Cooper Moore, They missed a broken bone by the elbow. Now, Greg Brooks was different because they actually got the diagnosis right, but they waited too long to do the test to get the diagnosis.
I don't know.
Because they didn't think he was that serious.
When they told him he had vertigo and put him back on the field for 3 weeks.
I'm sorry. That was a misdiagnosis at that point, and they didn't do the testing because they didn't take him seriously. They just thought, he's just hurt or what. I mean, it's in his head. And that's what LSU people were saying. That's what was coming out of LSU late last season with Nussmeier too, including some people on the radio here. Oh, that's in his head. Yeah, it's not in his head. It's on the freaking x-ray.
Well, not surprising that the news breaks during draft week that we finally get some finality in all of this, and we're no longer just wondering what the heck happened.
Well, I'm still wondering why he didn't just go ahead and have the surgery so it doesn't come back up.
Well, who knows? Maybe in June or whatever, he might. He might do.
Yeah, that's just a 2 or 3 week thing. But we always knew it was the abdomen. We knew that from September on. We just didn't know where it was coming from, which was the spine.
All right, hour number 2 when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.